We fear a God of wrath. When we think of God, how he is an angry God, when we read the passages about God as a just God who judges us, it makes us frightened. And that's kind of the idea, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if we focus only on God's wrath, or if we focus a lot on God's anger and wrath, we are so frightened of God that we want to run away and hide, isn't it? It works with people as well. If we know someone who is a really angry man or woman, but often it is blokes, and someone who is very impatient, who has a fierce temper, we walk on eggshells around them, don't we? We're always nervous about getting on their nerves. On the other hand, if we only focus on God's love and gentleness, we end up with this spineless God who doesn't have any standards. Oh, God is a God, and perhaps that, the second, is more the problem these days, that we have a God who never judges anyone or anything. And we actually end up with a God whose job is to pamper us, isn't it? Oh, if God is kind and merciful, well, then in that case, he'll give me what I want. He'll make my job successful. He'll give me a good relationship, a husband, a wife that I like, who's going to look after me. He'll make sure that my health is good, because that's his job. If we only focus on God's kindness and gentleness, or if we don't put it all together the way the Bible does, we end up with God, the resort host. So those of us who've been on holidays just now, I mean, maybe we haven't gone to a resort, but you know when you go someplace and they come and they greet you at the door, sir, welcome, and then there's the gym and the spa and the masseuse. Maybe you go and you get massaged and you feel all the stress and tension of the years going away. Is that how we treat God? God the therapist? Last week we saw that God is light. He is holy. This week we look at God's kindness in the light of his holiness. We look at him as a God who is powerful and mighty and wrath and just and fair, and whom we should tremble before. But here, when we think of him like this, when we realize and we enjoy his kindness, then on the one hand, we don't take him for granted. We don't treat him like a therapist, like a masseuse. But neither do we run away. We are not afraid of him. Because when we understand God's kindness and gentleness in Jesus, we can run to him joyfully. First of all, God is kind to everyone. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus says, he, God, causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It was excellent of Brett to read the passage from Jonah. I hadn't thought of that. Jonah, there, God is kind even to the Assyrians. Now, why would being kind to the Assyrians be such a big deal? Well, it's because the people of Assyria were God's enemies and enemies of God's people. That's why Jonah was so annoyed. He didn't want God to be kind to them. It works with us too when we're angry with someone. Okay? So a family member has dissed us, has insulted us, or someone, a friend of ours from school or work or whatever has insulted us. And then let's say something bad happens to them. They prank their car or something. Well, hey, it's the judgment of God on you. Ha, ha, ha. That's not how God operates. That's how Jonah wanted God to operate. But it's not how God actually operated. He is kind to the people that he made, even though they don't deserve it. When we treat God like our servant, like our therapist, we are quick to whinge and slow to say thank you. What are all the ordinary blessings of life that God has given to us that we need to thank God for? Even before we come to Jesus, who is of most certainly the greatest blessing. Families, food, what health that we do have, and the health that we have enjoyed throughout our life. education such as we do have it, the opportunities to do good and care for people, that's a blessing from God. You know the old song, count your blessings, name them one by one. What's the next line? And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When we think of God's kindness, when we think of God's mercy like some sort of servant, like a therapist, instead of saying thank you and being surprised by God's mercy and kindness, we whinge and we grumble. If we look at our lives and look for signs of God's kindness and mercy, count your blessings, it will surprise us what the Lord has done. As the people who know the God who looks after everybody, let us be thankful for the ordinary mercies. Let's praise God for the family connections we do have and for the love that we enjoy in them, such as we do. Let's thank God for the health that we do have and for the health that we have had in the past. Let's thank God for the goodness of this country we live in, the fruitfulness of the land, the safety of the law, and so on and so on. And as we praise and thank God for those things, we will be countercultural. It's not just us who are in danger of whinging and whining. I'm sure you've experienced it in your families and friends and school or TAFE and work and so on. That we live surrounded by people who are complaining. If we, in the genuine difficulties of our life, if we yet, in the name of God, thank Him for His kindness and mercy, we as Christians will get known as thankful people in the midst of a bunch of whingers. Wouldn't that be a good reputation? Not just for our church and not just for us as individuals, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, that He makes us thankful for what physical relational goods we do enjoy. Now, we can do this because we know God is kind to His people. So historically, Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 and then verse 4. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. This is God speaking of Himself as the Father of Israel. You remember 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Trinity and we discussed how God is love. He is constituted by love. All throughout the Bible, there's little hints that God is Father and that He has a Son and that His Spirit is powerful and active throughout the world. Little fingerprints of the Trinity all throughout even the Old Testament. And here's one. Now, in this particular case, the Son is the people of God, Israel, which, by the way, becomes fulfilled in Jesus, who was an Israelite, and God's true Son in the flesh, incarnate. So this by no means conflicts with the New Testament. It's just that Jesus is God's Son, you know, sort of beyond what even the Old Testament prophets could think of it. Here, the Son is just a sort of picture, an example, a metaphor. But the point here is God is kind to His children. And isn't that what we do also? Those of us who are children, we know plenty of times that our parents have been kind and generous and gentle with us, even when we were ratbags. And we who are parents know how often we can't whack them like we know they deserve. It's just not natural. It's not normal. We can't do it. We feel all the compassion welling up within us. That's how God treated the people of Israel. Now, in our Bible studies last year, some of us did Deuteronomy, some of us did Exodus. In both books, we see what a bunch of whingers the people of God were. Those of us who were in the Exodus study with Damien, you remember, they went to one place and whinged because there was no water, so God gave them water. They went to another place and whinged that there was no food, so God gave them quail or gave them manna. They went to a third place and whinged about something else. God was a good father. He was kind to them. As a good father, He rescued them from the bullies. I lifted the yoke from their neck. That's talking about Egypt. Our kindness to our children. I don't know, perhaps you've been in this situation where you've seen your child being treated unfairly by a bully or whatever. As a parent, what do? You wade in and rescue them. I remember a story told by a dad who actually saw his daughter being sat on by a bully and how he just waded in and had to restrain himself from breaking the kid's neck. I'm sure you could, those of you who are parents, you can empathize with that. How would you feel if you saw your child being bullied? That's how God treated the people of Israel. Lifted the yoke from their neck, rescued them from Egypt, and bent down to feed them. He was patient and gentle and kept looking after them in the wilderness, even while they whined and whinged and grumbled at him. And of course, the high point of God's mercy and kindness to us is Jesus. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. When we think of God the masseuse, God the therapist, the kind of model we have is, well, in a resort, we go along, we pay hundreds of dollars, and because we pay money, everybody's there to serve us. So there's the, because we deserve it, because we've earned it. There's the buffets, which we stuff ourselves, and the swimming pool, and the cocktails, and everything. Now, that's because their job is to make us feel good. That's how we think of God, if we don't think biblically. His job is to make me feel good, because I deserve it, because I've done something to deserve it. And I'm basically good. I've looked after my family. I've been nice to my parents. I've been nice to my kids. Kamal's been talking about being gentle and not standing for bullies. I've done all of that. So come on, God, you look after me. We were dead in our transgressions. Transgressions is just a fancy word for all of the things that we do to break God's standards. Ten Commandments, do not lie. I don't lie much. Only when they deserve it, or when I'm embarrassed, or whatever. Honor your father and mother. I honor them. I mean, I don't always obey them because I know better than them. But we do not deserve anything from God except judgment. Death in the Bible is more than just the inability to do stuff. Why is death tragic? We buried people over the last few weeks. We had quite a sad post-Christmas time because two of our people died on Christmas Day itself. Why is death bad? Why is it sad? Well, we miss the person and they're gone and the relationship with them is broken. All we have is the memories, but we can't hug the memories. But is it bad for the person? Well, sometimes we think, no, it's not. They've been hurting. They've been suffering. Now at least they're at peace. They are at peace if they're with God. But in the Bible, death means you stink to God. That's the real problem, or the real deathness of death, according to the Bible. Because God is offended by death. Death sort of makes him squeeze his nose and say, I don't like it. He has to get rid of death. That's what we saw last week when we talked about God's holiness and his purity. Dead things are impure. Dead things defile, they make unclean. So when we disobey God, when we do things that we know break his standards, when we do things that we know upset God, we stink. We are unholy. But God, who is rich in mercy, even when we are dead in everything that we do against God to upset him, he makes us alive in Christ. Last week, we saw how Jesus is God's Holy One. He is the special person, but he came to die and rise for us who insult him. Now that Christ is risen and he has dealt with everything that we have done against God, once and for all, now that he is risen, God, by his Holy Spirit, makes us alive with him. God is a God of life. That's why he gives us all the good things that we just talked about, where we enjoy life. Food is good. Food helps us to live. So party on with the good food that God gives us. relationships and family are good, it makes us to enjoy life. So party with your family, and so on and so on. All the things that we discussed a moment ago, they're genuinely good because they come from the God of life. But the life that he really wants for us is eternal life, indestructible life, which only the Lord Jesus has. Do you have this kindness from God? Have you accepted his kindness of eternal life in Jesus? Because there's no point even enjoying the good life, the good things of life that God gives us. There's actually no point even saying, yes, thank you, God, for my family, for the food, for the friends, if we do not accept his highest kindness, his greatest enjoyment of life, and that is resurrection life, eternal life with the Lord Jesus. It's that life that we based our courage on when we buried Alan. It's that life that we based our trust and our hope when we buried Jewel Rose in the last few weeks. If we approach God like a resort host, we expect him to pamper us and we whinge when he doesn't. If we approach God as the mighty but generous Father who gives us everything we need for life, and thank him for that, and who gives us his one and only Son so that we would live forever, then how can we do anything but rejoice and praise him in everything? Now, if we think of God as the resort host, then what's the sign that we really are Christian? Well, the sign that we're really Christians is our life is going well and we're healthy and happy and our jobs are good and we have a hot woman who's our wife, or a top bloke who's our husband or boyfriend or whatever. Those are the signs that God is kind and merciful to us. What does the Bible say? Romans 8 verse 17, now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. How opposite the Bible is to what we assume about what the sign of God's kindness is to us right here, right now. In one sense, the sign of God's kindness is Jesus, crucified and risen, historical. Yes, absolutely. But what about here and now? How do I know that God is being kind to me? The sign of God being kind to you, if you're going through the same kinds of hardship that Jesus did. Good grief. Who'd have thought? You see why we need to renew our thinking according to the Bible. You see why we need to read what the Bible actually said. It says, instead of thinking that God operates by our standards. And so, all those times that people mock you because you trust Jesus, rejoice. You're suffering like Christ did. He, on the cross, he trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him come down from the cross if he is the Son of God. Hey, look at this person. They trust in Jesus, but their business went bust. Look, they trust in Jesus and they don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They trust in Jesus and they're not doing well in their job. Their family is falling apart. Enjoy it. Well, not really enjoy it, but you are blessed. The Spirit of God and glory rests upon you. It's only if we have this attitude that God's kindness is seen when we battle the same kind of battles that Jesus did, that we'll understand the truth of the famous Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. When God chooses us, the whole doctrine of election, predestination, etc., which I heartily believe and preach, the purpose of it is that we would become more and more like Jesus, which means battling the rubbish of a world that doesn't believe in Jesus. That's what it means that God works in all things for our good. He wants us to become more like Jesus, more patient with stupid people. Looking forward more and more to the resurrection body. Maybe that's why he inflicts us with so much physical woe now. Perhaps we should thank Jesus for the kindness of illness, disability, weakness. Thank you, Lord, for being so kind to me that you are teaching me to look forward to the resurrection body and not putting trust in this world and in this body. If we expect God to bless us with physical health now, we will end up depressed and or whinging. Because the science doesn't work, not ultimately. The medicine doesn't work. If we put our trust in the science and medicine and therapy now, we will be disappointed, we will be whingers. But if we see every affliction that comes on us as being from the hand of God, as a kindness, then we'll say, make me more like Christ, the one on whom all illnesses and diseases, all of the sin, the Father put it on him. Now this sounds really depressing. So is God killing us with his kindness? Making us suffer, and so then, okay, well, I'll just be like Jesus and shut up and carry it. No, he comforts us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in his troubles, in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. As people who follow Jesus, we are supposed to be comfortable, but not comfortable like a resort. We're meant to experience the encouragement, the strength, the confidence, the love of God flowing through us by his Holy Spirit, so that we can then go to a hurting world, a world full of bitterness, disappointment, and pain. In the power of God and with the confidence that we, right here, right now, God has worked in us to strengthen us. And so we go and say to them, know this God. Not the God who pampers you, but the God who comforts us. Like actually does comfort us, but the Bible way. Not the worldly way. And so, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, and malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's do it. In the power of God, instead of being a bunch of whingers and angry with each other and angry with the world and angry and impatient with all of the failures of the medicine and the technology and the whatever, let us be kind, gentle, forgiving, have low expectations of our own bodies, our own health, low expectations of our family, so that we're not angry when they let us down, but we can be kind with them. And as we do this, we will represent our kind and merciful God to the world. And wouldn't that be nice? We run from a wrathful God. We take for granted God, the resort owner, the sort of kind God, the way we define him. We love the kind God according to Jesus. We can run to the merciful God who forgives us everything that we do against him. Let us live as peacemakers. Peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness, says James. Let's go into a world that is bitter and disappointed, and live a kind and merciful life in the name of our kind and merciful God. Let's pray. Father God, you are so kind and gentle to us. We admit that we do not give you the credit for your kindness and mercy. We are far too quick to whinge, and we are sorry for that. We pray that you will give us a big picture of what your Son has done for us. Make us thankful people for your Son and for every other good blessing in our ordinary, normal life. And may the world see that we are different. May the world see that we are your disciples by our love for you and for each other. Our love for you, the most kind God, and our love for each other and the world, in his name. Amen.